Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello, this is the Ruler Podcast, supported by Lacquer, bicycle insurance powered by the community. Well, the Grand Tours are over, the Worlds are over, the Giro di Lombardia is this weekend, and unless their name's down for the Tour of Guangxi, it's pretty much the off-season for pro riders. Some of them, we're looking at you, Matthew van der Poel, will probably be riding cross, but most will be heading for the beach. In the old days, of course, they'd all have been riding the boards on the six-day circuit. British fans still make the traditional November pilgrimage to Ghent, and the revived London 6 Day will be playing to packed, if slightly less boisterous, crowds at Lee Valley Velodrome this month. This year's edition features some big names, not least Mark Cavendish. I caught up with him a while ago at Lee Valley, and we both tried to remember the last time he raced on the track.
Raced on the track was probably when I won the Ghent 6 Day with Brad. Rode here London 6 Day slightly just before that, but I've trained on the track continually since then.
Is that still part of your training then?
Yeah, so it, I enjoy it. It always complements a little bit, you know. No, I was a track racer growing up. It's kind of racing is better than training on the track, you know. It's my happy place racing on the track. You know, it's just pure. There's no brakes. There's one gear, and it's intense. You know, it's from the gun to the finish, it's full on.
And 6 day races are different again, aren't they? There's a very sort of different.
Yeah, 6 day racing is kind of, if you look at World Cup racing, and that is like your 1 day races, like your classics on the road. Then 6 day racing is like tour racing, but on the track, you know, you have to manage your effort over 6 days. You got different events in there, different styles of race that you have to adapt to constantly on a night, and and especially now the UCI have changed the format of the Madison at Worlds and Olympic level, World Cups and that. 6 day racing is still what holds true to the value of what a Madison racing is, you know, which is about lapping the field ultimately.
And across the whole 6 days as well, kind of knowing what you need to do relative to other teams.
Yeah, I think gauging your effort and knowing where to put it in to challenge, to get laps back on the field, to gain points, you got to take a structured approach to that and a tactical approach on how you're going to do it, you know. And people do it. Some people go high on the board early in the week. Some leave it to the end. And usually ends up with close racing because of that, so.
Saw you actually practicing a couple of Madison changes with Caleb Ewan. It looked like it's a long while since he's done them.
Yeah, but you don't. It's kind of when you grow up racing, so it still doesn't take long. It's, you just get ingrained back into it. It's something that sits naturally. Just takes a couple of kind of efforts to get the confidence, and then you're fine. Like it's like you've never been away.
From the outside, the Madison looks like complete and utter chaos. What's it like actually inside as a rider?
Do you know where the best place to see a Madison is? Actually in the race. Actually, the riders, it's the place you can see what's going on the most. The second best place to watch a Madison is in the arena, is in the stands. You can see the whole track, you know? On TV, it's difficult to understand. Even I find it difficult sometimes to understand, you know? But when you can have a view of the whole track and what's going on at once, that's when it's actually quite understandable. You know, the closer the action you can get, obviously the more exciting it is, but the more you can see everything that's going on the track at the same time, really.
It starts to make sense when you're actually riding it.
When you watch it, when you can see the whole track, like, it should be pretty simple once you know it's easy to snowball, really, you know, in your knowledge of it.
And across the whole 6 days as well, kind of knowing what you need to do relative to other teams.
Yeah, I think gauging your effort and knowing where to put it in to challenge, to get laps back on the field, to gain points, I'll give you that. That's more of a kind of, you got to take a structured approach to that and a tactical approach on how you're going to do it, you know. And people do it. Some people go high on the board early in the week. Some leave it to the end. And usually ends up with close racing because of that. So.
A lot of the people who come along to a 6 day, it may be their first experience of track racing or maybe their first experience of bike racing. What's the big difference from a rider's point of view between, you know, road racing and track racing in terms of the demands it makes on you?
Road and track cycling, although it's two wheels, two pedals and a set of handlebars, it's like comparing rally driving and Formula One driving. They're both driving, but it's different. It's not the same, you know. And we can't really adjust our suspension and tyres, you know. It's down our kind of legs to do that. And that takes a lot of effort to be able to do. You know, there's a few of us in the world that can do it, that can transition, but it's hard work. Like, fortunate that having done it my whole career, I know what I have to do, but it don't make it any easier any time. And I know it's hard work having to do it. But they've always complemented each other being able to do it, you know.
There's a good field at London this year, isn't there? Apart from yourself, there's Caleb Ewan, Elia Viviani.
It's the best field they've ever had in terms of top quality road riders here. You know, it's pretty impressive that 6 Day London have got arguably the three fastest riders of our generation, you know, racing together, all from a track background. And you can really see then, you know, we're in a stadium environment, you know, there's no kind of, the course doesn't matter, the weather conditions doesn't matter, you know, it's pure racing, pure speed. And to come from three fast guys, Elliot's Olympic champion on the track, he's European champion now on the road. Caleb just won two stages of the tour in his first Tour de France. That's pretty special. I'm excited to race with him. I'm nervous. Obviously, I have a home advantage, but it should be exciting times. It should be great racing, I think.
What difference does that home advantage make? Because you do get some good crowds here in London, don't you?
You know, it's easy to say, you know, every athlete says, oh, when you can hear the home crowd, you go, oh, it spurs you on. It does. It's not just something you say to media. Like, you know, I remember riding here at the London Velodrome with Brad in 2016, and when we took that final lap at the end, you know, we were 40K into 50K Madison, and you know, it's not an easy place to be, that, you know, and you really do feel something. Like, you don't feel something, that's the thing. So it's like someone screaming takes some form of lactic acid out of your legs, you know, and you get this extra little thing from it. It's pretty special.
The other thing that people always look forward to at 6 day races is Derny racing. And from a rider's point of view, do you enjoy that?
Derny racing, do you know what they call it in Germany? They call it like stayer racing. You know, not literally translated, but you could say it means staying at high speed, you know, and it's easier for your Brads, you know, your long limbed lever guys that can push a big gear. The small guys, it's hard for us having to spin a little gear because we don't really have the length of pistons to push around big gears. We can go fast. We can go even faster than a Derny for a short amount of time, but staying at that high speed, it's difficult for us, you know. But so we have to ride on a bit of a different tactic to the others. Your Derny driver does make a big difference. Like, it's easy to think if you've got no experience of it, oh, it's easy to just be on a Derny, just follow it, you know. Just whoever drives a motorbike fastest, it's nothing like that at all. The accelerations, the decelerations, the position you have on the track, like the G-force you got if you lower down the track, all has an impact on how you can pedal, how you fatigue, and ultimately at the end of the race, you know. So they're actually, although you're not in the wind. They're sometimes the most tactical event of the night.
Listen, Mark, thanks for joining us. Good luck the sixth day.
And thank you.
Good luck with next year, whatever it brings.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. And we've now been joined by Mark's partner for the sixth day, Owen Dahl. You've actually just got back from the Vuelta, haven't you?
Yeah, so finished Vuelta in Madrid last night at 8 o'clock and got a 6:30 flight over here to the Lee Valley Velodrome for a bit of talking about the sixth day.
How are you feeling?
Not too bad, actually. It was a hard race, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, I think I came through it in not too bad a shape. So yeah, not too bad.
So are you looking forward to getting back on the track with Mark?
Yeah, I am. I haven't been on the track for a couple of years, actually. Obviously, after doing the games, switched to kind of the road focus. And unfortunately, I've never been able to do the London 6 day because we've always had a team camp on, medicals and stuff like that. But this is the first year where there's been no clash. So I've had no commitments this time of year. So when the opportunity came to ride the 6 day, I was ecstatic. And then be partnered with Cav as well, it was, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Have you done any 6 days?
I have. I've done a couple in the past, but more the UIV under 23 ones. So I've done Ghent, Berlin, but then never any of the elite ones, because back when I was riding the track, it didn't really fit into the program or what we were working towards with the team pursuit. So yeah, this will be my first elite 6 day.
They are very sort of different, aren't they? They're almost like a separate discipline almost to track racing and obviously road racing. What as a rider, what's the difference? What's the big difference?
I think there's a lot of factors. You know, I think, you know, you probably couldn't just throw any road rider onto the track, especially in a 6 day. Probably from the outside, it looks quite chaotic. You know, people going over changes, lots of different stuff going on. And yeah, I guess you have to be super aware and have ridden enough Madisons and raced enough Madisons before to be able to pick out the combinations, to see when, if a certain team's coming down, to get in the right order with their partner, and also to read the race. So it takes a lot. And also just the repetitiveness. You know, most normal track races, obviously you race for 1 day and that's it. But obviously here, the 6 day, you have to back up over the 6 days. So there's that added element as well.
And it is a sort of a long game, isn't it? You're always kind of thinking, yeah, you know, where are we in the standings and what do we need to do for this particular race? But keeping an eye on the final thing as well.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you could be leading for 5 nights and then on the last night you get hoodwinked. You know, anything can happen. Even if you have a couple of bad days at the start, you can never really rule too many teams out because they could come good towards the back end.
Are you looking forward to riding behind the Derny?
I am, actually, yeah. We used to do a lot of it, obviously, back when I was doing the track full time. I might be a bit rusty, but yeah, those are always the events which I think look the best on TV as well. You know, the high speeds, how compact everyone rides. It's always an exciting race.
And you've got some strong competition this year, haven't you? Elia Viviani, Caleb Ewan, you know, there's no sort of easy teams that you're riding against, really, are there?
Yeah, no, the lineup this year is amazing. So I feel really privileged to be part of it. You know, I think it'd be great for the fans to see, you know, Cav, Elia and Caleb going head-to-head in some of the sprints in the Madisons. You know, it's not something you get to see every day. So I think it'd be pretty cool.
Owen Dahl, good luck in the sixth day and thanks for joining us.
Brilliant, thank you.
And we're now joined by Caleb Ewing. This is your first 6 day, isn't it? Your first taste of the 6 days.
Yeah. You know, it's a 6 days, an event that I've heard a lot about, especially growing up in Australia. Because we do, yeah, I think every junior in Australia does track and road. So it's something that I heard a lot about, something that we never had in Australia when I was growing up. So I never got the chance to do it there. And yeah, by the time I was coming over to Europe, I was already full time on the road. So yeah, it's my first one and I'm pretty excited about it.
When was the last time you actually rode on the track, on an indoor track?
Oof, I think 4 years ago. So it's been a while, and then before that, probably another 4 years. So been a long time. So I might be a bit rusty on the track, but we'll see.
Have you worked out the different races in the 6 day? Because some of them are a bit unusual, aren't they?
To be honest, I honestly know nothing about the format or anything. So it's all brand new to me, and hopefully I'm going to probably have to learn a bit about it before I actually start. So, yeah, otherwise it's all quite new to me.
Have the other riders been giving you tips or trying to put you off at all?
Not really, because it was only kind of... I only made my mind up about doing it probably 2 weeks ago. So I haven't really thought about it too much. But, yeah, I've heard they're quite hard and I believe it. You know, 6 days of full gas racing on the track is, yeah, it's never going to be easy, especially if you're not a track specialist. So we'll see how it goes, but I hope it's not too bad.
And it'll be fun racing against Elia Viviani and Mark Cavendish on the track.
Yeah, you know, they're guys obviously that I've dueled against on the road, but yeah, it'll be nice to race against them on the track. And I think obviously those guys are a bit more experienced than me on the track, being to the Olympics and World Championships and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's going to be hard for me to really, I don't know, beat them, but I'll try my best.
And how's the rest of the season and next year looking for you?
Well, I've finished my season now. So I finished last Saturday in Brussels Classic. So now I'll have a little bit of time off and then start training up again for this race. So yeah, I'm going to need to find a track to do some training on because at home there's no track. So yeah, I'll have to go somewhere, I guess, to do some track training and prepare for this.
Good luck with that and good luck with the 6 day as well.
Thank you. Cheers.
Caleb Ewan. Well, the London 6 day runs from the 22nd of October to the 27th, and they've just announced another star signing. Laura Kenny will be partnering Eleanor Barker, and they'll be up against a field that includes Katie Archibald and Nia Evans. One of the team of Derny pacers there will be Cordiano Dagnoni, billed, perhaps inevitably, as the Italian Stallion. In the admittedly niche world of motor-paced bike racing, Cordiano is royalty. The Dagnoni family have been pacing with Dernies and big motorbikes since the 50s, and they have a museum of motor-pacing on the ground floor of their engineering company's office block in Milan. Christian Dagnoni showed me round and told me about the man who started it all, their father, Mario.
Yes, my father, after a career like a rider, start like a pacer in 1958. He won one world championship in 1968, 27 Italian championship, 3 European championship, and 2 world record in the stayer. When me and my brother were a child, we were always together, my father, and so we have the same hobby, and now we are a pacer. My brother Cordiano and Sergio like only for Derny, and me also for big motor. Cordiano was also a rider in the bike, me only for pacer.
There's a great picture on the wall of Cordiano when he must have been very, very young indeed, being paced by your father.
Yes.
Is that at the Vigorelli?
No, it was. They were in Varese in 1975, and Cordiano, he was 11 year old, and my father try a record with Cordiano, and the speed in one laps was 71 kilometer per hour.
71 kilometers an hour at 11 years
11
old.
11 years old, yes, sure.
Over by the wall there, and I will put the pictures of all these bikes onto the podcast page of the Rulo website so you can see what I'm talking about. But there is a magnificent old motorbike in blue and yellow colours. Is that your father's old Steyr motorbike?
Yes, it's the original bike for my father. The motorbike technical characteristic was the big engine Mayer, 2,200 cubic, two-cylinder.
So a 2-litre engine on a motorbike?
Yes, 2-litre engine, and the transmission with a special belt. Was a very, very big motorbike, and is the wife for my father for many years, because in the past the motorbike was like a wife.
And how fast would he be able to go with a rider behind with that bike?
But in the past, in Vigorelli, they try also in 1 hour, 78 kilometer per hour in 1 hour. So the speed was very high with this motorbike.
You've got an amazing collection of the big stayer motorbikes here, but you've also got some Dernies. And this Dernie over here, it's looking a bit tattered, it's looking a bit worn. It's green and red paint, which is wearing off on the petrol tank. And it looks pretty much like the Dernies that are used today. But when you come round to the mudguard at the back, there's a very special name on it. Whose Dernie was this?
It's a Dernie for Jacques Anquetil, the original from Jacques Anquetil, because I take this Dernie from his, in the French name was Masseur. He was an old man living in Milan some year before he died. He called me and say, "Hey, I have a good present for you. I give you the original Dernie from the trainer for Jacques Anquetil." And so I'm very happy, like a family, to have this Dernie, because it's different like the Dernie today, but I'm sure that is very, very strong Dernie, because I tried this Dernie, and the engine is fantastic. It's a two-speed, very, very fast.
Do you think this would have been used on the road as well as on the track?
Yes, because this Dernie use this man, Tarcisio Vergani, use with Jacques Anquetil for a training on the road, especially on the road, for to prepare the TT race, and is very good.
Over here is a bike that I recognize. It's one of the Triumph Thunderbirds, which were originally made for the World Championship in Leicester, and for many years were used at Herne Hill. I've seen them in action at Herne Hill. This is a amazing machine, isn't it? Was it 650cc, I think?
Yes, 650. And it's a Triumph motorbike.
Looking at them, if people haven't seen stayer racing, they are amazing bikes, aren't they? Because the Pacer pretty much stands up, don't they? Yeah. You stand up in order to give more shelter to the rider. But are they difficult bikes to ride?
Yes, it's difficult because it's a totally different the position for to drive this motorbike, but it depends also from the track, because like in Herne Hill is a long track, is not so difficult, but when you go in a small track like 250 meter, it's too difficult because the speed is high. And to drive in stand-up was not so easy.
Yeah, I can't imagine driving anything this big on a small track. It must take a lot of skill.
Yes, it's totally different. But after, I think, for us, after three laps, we are in the race. And it's easy after many years for me, it's very easy.
Now, we heard from Mark Cavendish earlier on. He was saying that he enjoys Dernie racing, and he particularly respects the skill of the Dernie pacers, because a lot of people think it's, you know, just someone sitting on a little motorbike. But there's a real art to being a Dernie pacer and doing it well, isn't there?
Yes, it's hard, because Dernie is different like the stayer, but in the last year the speed is very high, and so change the characteristic for the race. But it's important to have a good feeling with the rider. I think Mark Cavendish is one of the best specialists for a Dernie race, and it's fantastic to see him in the race.
Christian Dagnoni. You're listening to the Ruler podcast, supported by Lacquer, bicycle insurance powered by the community.
I'm Mark Williamson, and I've been a Lacquer customer since the start of 2019, so about 8 months now. So I was on this new bike and stopped off at a coffee shop at a hotel just to send a few emails and make a call. Came out and found someone had taken off the headset at the front. They'd cut the braking gear cables, they'd unscrewed the handlebars and stolen the bars and shifters. Lacquer were phenomenal, actually. I was blown away by both the immediacy and the kind of helpfulness of the support. They seemed keen to help, and it was just a remarkably hassle-free experience. I couldn't have been happier with the service, despite being incredibly frustrated that somebody had decapitated my new bike.
And you can find out more about Lacquer's approach to insurance on laka.co.uk. And don't forget, the Ruler Classic in London is coming up at the end of the month, October 31st to November the 2nd. The best brands in cycling, along with guests including Greg LeMond, Lizzie Dynion, Sir Bradley Wiggins and Sean Yates, Rob Hales, Matt Heyman, and probably my favourite rider of the moment, Cecily Uttrup-Ludwig. Plus the chance to see Adam Blythe and his shirts in person. Podcast listener? Of course you are. So you get 10% off if you use the discount code RCPOD. So it's time to catch up with Ruler's Desire editor, Stuart Clapp, who we haven't heard from for a little while. Stuart, have you recovered from the World Championships in Harrogate?
In a word, no. I've still got post-Harrogate plague, which I think everyone's got. I told my mum, and she said I've been burning the candle at both ends. Answer on the postcards. Anyone know what that means? Yeah, well, yeah, I was. But I was keeping fairly well hydrated. I mean, I was never without a drink in my hand, and I made sure. Maybe I didn't get enough sleep. Getting in at 4 o'clock in the morning every morning and then going out again to then go, no, I'm not going to drink today. No, I'm not going to drink. And then by about midday, you've had a beer because you think it's hair of the dog and it's medicinal. I can't even say it. And then and I'm still drunk. But amazing week, as the world is. I mean, we talked about it last year, but I went to my first Worlds at in Innsbruck last year, and how everyone kind of, it's like end of term feel. But it's like end of term, stag do, a hen do, freshers week. And but David summed it up. David Miller summed it up when he said, it's a little bit like going to a Christmas party, because you end up at a party at some point, and then someone goes, right, should we go somewhere else? And then you move on. Hang on, I haven't covered any of the racing, have I? I've just talked about drinking.
No, that seemed to be the main point of the week, though.
It does have that feeling, But what a week for racing. What a week for women's racing. I was having this conversation the other day about how if, say, the men's race was decided in the way the women's race was decided, we would never hear the last of it. Van Vleuten went 104.7 kilometres to go. I had to look it up, so I wanted to look it up exactly how far it was, and then to stay clear for that long. What, like, that is insane, right? That is like the stuff of for history books, you know? But the whole weekend was amazing. The weather was grim as, and when I drove back on Monday after the men's race and the sun was out, I did have a little, well, I didn't laugh. I felt really sad for the guys that were out there all day living their best life as they were.
Ruler 19.7 dropped through my letterbox this morning, including a new fancy and enlarged Desire.
It's an engorged Desire section. It's now 25 pages long. When I first started doing it, a couple of years back, it was like 16 pages and it's got bigger. And I actually, they let me write stuff in there now, which is...
I saw that.
I'd say fairly brave of them. I'm not really a writer, but I've always wanted to write for Ruler. Like, I've read it. We talked about this in the past, not necessarily on the podcast. We've talked about it in the past. But I subscribed to Ruler for years and years and years, and I always loved the editorial with it. But actually, to write it, it's not lost on me that I feel a little bit privileged that I'm writing in it. You know, it's quite a nice feeling. So actually, I wrote about what it was like, you know, to changing the seasons, which it very much is at the moment. Where it's getting a bit frosty in the mornings, it's getting a bit chilly. So I think I did something along those lines and then tied it into kit. But yeah, there'll be more sort of things like that in the future, I think.
And it's the edition that's got all the exotic cars from Caymans, is it?
Yeah, Caymans International. They are a supercar dealership. And the guy sort of does it. It's his passion. He's so into it. Yeah, I mean, with the desire section being so massive and my huge increase in pay, I think I might go back and buy the Lamborghini Countach.
I would go for it. But how much was the little Fiat Cinquecento?
That's probably more my budget. But to be honest, I still like the Vespa that had, 37 miles on it from new. It was amazing. He even let me push it around. Oh, the trust. But yeah, that was probably more a bit my price range. Although it is that's a design classic, isn't it? A Vespa like that, and the Fiat 500, and the Countach, and the F40, and all the other goods that he had in there,
and the Colnago that's in there as well.
Yeah, that's quite nice, isn't it? I've keeps missing the point, don't I? I talk about the worlds and talk about drinking, and then talk about the cars in a bike shoot. Yeah, that Colnago is lovely, actually. Like, the colour match between that and the Lamborghini Aventador that it was lent up against was, yeah, it was unreal. It was like the paint came out the same factory. But yeah, that was a fun shoot, that. That was really good. Loads of cool stuff in there. Loads of good kit.
And probably the next time I see you is going to be at the Ruler Classic at the end of the month. Are you looking forward to that?
I cannot wait. I love the Ruler Classic. I don't know what I do at the Ruler Classic. I'm just there, right? So I let my hair down a little bit, which is quite nice. And there's 3 days of it. The Thursday is obviously the day where the bar's free, you pay, you know, and everyone's there. Friday, I really like Friday. Friday's the cool day for me because everyone goes out afterwards and there's always an after party because I think the show finishes at like 8, 9 o'clock. Should I tell you about my story last year of how my survival guide for the Ruler Classic?
Is this when it all went wrong?
Well, wrong or right, depends which way you want to look at it. I mean, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. We went out afterwards. We had a couple of parties that night. There's a few faces from cycling out. And at the end of the night, well, not the end of the night, it just sort of whittled down towards the end, and it was the hardcore at the end. And Morten Okbo and I, obviously Morten, everyone probably knows Morten for his like articles with Cancellara and Floyd Landis and Lance Armstrong and stuff. Morten is exactly how his writing sort of shows him. He's pretty out there. I love Morten. And he thought I had a hotel room and I thought he did. So we thought, oh, don't worry, I'll crash in his room. And then it got to about 4 o'clock and he went to me, okay, don't leave me, okay? And I was like, why? And he went, because I haven't got anywhere to stay. And I was like, no, neither have I. So then when we got to that point, I thought, right, okay, we haven't got anywhere to stay, so we're not going to sleep rough. So the best way to do it is to drink for as long as we can in a bar that would stay open and then stay out all night and then just turn up at the show the following day as if, like, you know, bosh, we're in and just doing another day's work, which at the time was a brilliant idea. But the following day, I felt absolutely shocking by about 11 o'clock. Morten went home. I carried on, then went out the following night. But that's because I was younger then. A whole year younger. I don't know if I could do it again. I'm going to book a hotel room.
Yeah, this year will be a lot calmer, won't it?
Probably not.
And I understand that during your week in Harrogate, you actually got asked for your autograph.
I was really hoping. I was hoping you were going to bring that up. I sent you a photo of it, didn't I? I went to Prologue, and that is a wicked bike shop in Harrogate. But yeah, I was there and I met this guy called Eddie, and Eddie comes over, he's got his cap with him, and he went, oh, I've got, will you sign this? And I thought, this is a wind-up, right? And he went, I've already got two autographs on here, Colin Sturgis and David Miller, right? And I thought, what? I thought he's winding me up. But the thing is, I've never signed an autograph, so...
Did he know who you were?
Yeah, he recognised my voice, right? So, which is unbelievable, I know. But when I started signing it...
And that, I'm afraid, is all we have time for from Stuart and his fantasy world. Don't forget the Ruler Classic 10% discount code RCPOD. See you for the next podcast. We've got Tom Pidcock on it.
Every time he looks at it, there's going to be my name shouting at him in block capitals.
Hmm. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.